Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life with KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty. I have with me today Brandon Mendenhall. He is the founder of the Mendenhall Experiment. He has a documentary called Mind Over Matter, and it's absolutely empowering and wonderful to watch. I think anyone should watch it for any reason. It's just empowering. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm stoked.
So I watched the documentary back when Kelly and I first started talking, and I think I had already messaged you or the band or something like that, because that's what I do. And I had not known the whole story behind them. Like, I hadn't known your whole story. And so there were so many moments within the documentary that my heart just exploded, because there were these great moments. There were trials and tribulations, but those moments of pure appreciation that you have sometimes for life and the things that, the positive things, right, that came towards you was really beautiful. Can you talk to me a little bit about that documentary?
Well, Mind Over Matter, very simply, is an award-winning documentary film that chronicles my entire life story and my journey through adolescence into this crazy world that we know as the music industry. And it's very simply, can the dude with cerebral palsy create a band and then take that band to a national level of success while using it as a vehicle to inspire others along the way?
Yeah, it's really amazing. There was, like I said, there were so many parts in it for me, but a couple of the parts that stood out for me is when you talked about how everyone told you that they didn't want you playing guitar. Like, I know you had wanted to when you were young, played music, but you were told, like, no, you don't need to play guitar. And that was like, one, usually people can take it two different ways. They can be like, okay, fine, I understand. And then you can take it the other way, right? And be like, you're not going to tell me what to do. So,
and that's kind of the direction that I took. It took a while to make it happen, but I convinced my grandmother to side with me and secretly buy me a guitar, and off I went.
Yeah. Can you talk about some of the struggles mentally that you've had within the music industry? I know it can be, let's be real, it can be corrupt, it can be crazy, it can be great, it can be all kinds of things. Do you have certain things that really were harder on you mentally than others within the industry?
I think one of the biggest hurdles for me and for us as a band was to get people to take us seriously, you know, take the quote-unquote disabled band seriously. We really had to put our music where our mouths were and have made sure that our live performance was airtight, and that we go out there and we kick you in the throat every night, and then, you know, people can say what they want, but we bring it on stage, and there's no like extra like additives. There's no tracks, there's no sequence lights, there's no video screens, none of that. It's just a 5-piece rock band that's gonna go up there and bring it every night.
And that would be hard to be in a place where you're wanting people to take you seriously, but they don't because of many different reasons. I think bands in general, I think sometimes people think, oh, well, if you're not this or you're not that, they don't take you seriously. But then if you have your story behind it, like you do, that there are certain people that hold, what can I say? Preconceived notions about people who they may say have a disability, instead of just saying you're just people. We're all just people. I have it. Every like there's so many different kinds of things that there's quiet disabilities that people may not know and may not be visible, and there's a whole spectrum of them. And I would be damned to prove everybody wrong is what I would do.
I think that's the premise, that's our entire mission statement of our band, is to prove to the world that everyone with a disability is more capable than you could ever dream of. You just have to give them the opportunity to show you what they can do and how creative they can be. They're creative just like everybody's creative. You just gotta find that spark inside of you, and you have to be surrounded by a community of people that allows you to find that spark. There's so much I can say about the music industry and like mental health and how it affects like musicians and the music industry as a whole. I don't want to say that it sucks. But it can be really challenging. There's a lot of two-faced people, snakes, and people trying to run scams on you, and we've ran into all of them. And then you get the people that look at my story and go, "Oh, well, he's only where he is because the guys in Korn and all these famous people, and they did the movie, but they all feel sorry for him because he has a disability." And it's like, that's not really how the music industry works either. Like, companies and musicians don't stand up to back people just because they have some sort of affliction. It just doesn't. Basically, you have to be good or
You have to
care.
show up.
That's it. But it's a challenge, man. Even now, like in current day, like I'm struggling to find the inner inspiration. Like, we're in the middle of writing a record, and I'm really digging deep trying to find like the fire to really put out an awesome album, because I know that's what the fans want and that's what I want to deliver. But I also feel like mentally I'm just kind of like down in it right now. I don't think you can relate to that.
No, it's, I think that with any art form, I know that there's demands when we're talking about, say, the music industry, and then also like the demand that fans have on you. That's a whole separate thing. And that's, I'm not going to say that that's a bad thing, because I know that that's why, music is what it is because there are fans. But part of the reason why I do this podcast is because I'm trying to bridge that gap between, music and musicians and regular people, if you want to call, that it's that we all have the same struggles. They may not be the exact, but we have the same emotions and grief and some depression and anxiety and highs and lows and all those different things. And so I think that anybody who is an artist, when they get those blocks, that you're kind of just looking for something to take you out of that block, to give you that oomph. So I do.
And with each record that we do, it gets harder to be original, to be creative, to bring it. Because I find myself writing songs and coming up with riffs, and I'm like, oh, I've done that, I played that, I can't do that, I can't. I get to change the transition or the chords or the pattern or, always checking the rhythms to not kind of repeat what we've done. And everything you put out, it becomes harder and harder to be original with the next.
Because you've done so much and you have so much music and things like that out there.
Yeah, so that's what I'm kind of struggling with right now. I feel like kind of down space, kind of feeling isolated, kind of feeling my way through that. Like, where do I want to go with this, and how's it gonna go?
Yeah, no. And I think that that's a completely normal place for anybody to be at different times. And I know that that can be heavy pressure when you're needing to put something out. So I think that getting grounded and just breathing through it, trying to find some inspiration. And that actually is one of my questions I was going to ask earlier. What are some things that inspire you? And it doesn't have to be musically, it could be just as a human, but what are some things that inspire you to keep going?
I think the biggest inspiration for me right now is like the fans, the people that come to me and give me their testimonials about how I've inspired them or we've inspired them to push through their own disabilities, their own afflictions, and stuff like that. I draw a lot of inspiration from the fans and the feedback that I get. I get a lot of inspiration from like music documentaries. I watch a lot of documentaries and in studio stuff, bands like the Eagles and Black Sabbath and original Rolling Stones stuff, like old school stuff, and try to incorporate that kind of fiery creativeness into what I'm doing.
In the documentary, and I know this is known for the people that do know you, is that Korn was a really impactful band for you.
Absolutely. Love those guys. Can't say good things about the guys in Korn. They have been awesome to us, and they are still the utmost kindest, most awesome people to myself and the band that I could ever ask for. It's really been a dream come true with those guys.
And that's one of my favorite parts of your journey is being able to watch some of that. My favorite part in the documentary where my heart just exploded was when you gave them your guitar. That for me, because one of my bands that changed my life was Otherwise. Absolutely wouldn't be the person I am today without them. And I'm always like, how can I give back? How can I give back? And I guess this podcast is part of me giving back and helping people through in a way that they helped me. So when I saw you give the guitar, I was like, it was just beautiful, beautiful. Can you talk about that?
That was such a crazy, crazy, really couple of days. Like, I was in a really dark spot then. I was actively on drugs, and I remember going to my friend's house that I was staying at, but we had like a makeshift studio at her house in Hollywood. I had my own place in Koreatown, where I spent 99% of my time at the Hollywood spot in the studio. And the guitar happened to be in the Hollywood spot in the studio, so I went to the spot to pick up the guitar to go to Bakersfield that day. I think I picked it up the night before. And I went in to pick it up, and that spot was, there was always people hanging out. We were always partying. It was a crew hangout, a drug spot, a studio, all in one. So I went in and grabbed a guitar, and everybody's questioning me on my way out, like, what are you doing with it? Where are you going? And I kind of turned and I was like, I'm gonna give it to Monkey from Korn. And they all looked at me. They're like, what? Why? Why would you, are you out of your mind? Like, why would you do that? Why? He doesn't need your guitar. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and they basically berated me when I was like leaving the house. I was on my way of separating myself from that group anyway, so I was kind of estranged. I just kind of popped up to grab the guitar and then bounced. But then we went to Bakersfield the next day, and I hooked it up with their manager, and he got wires crossed. He thought that I was just showing up to get the guitar signed. So, like, we have a good relationship, so he set it all up, and I was able to get through and bring the guitar in, and they brought me on the bus, and Monkey and I shared a few moments, and then I pulled out the guitar, and I was like, "Hey man, check this out!" And he pulled it out, and I'm like, "Yeah, it's like." It's a universe, like the ones that you got started with, but it's not all banged up. Because all their, like their green and black ones and the white and black ones, that the original ones that came out, they had to buy them all in pawn shops. And then they took them on the road while they were drinking and using, and they bashed them all up and they were trashed. But I found one that was in really good condition, almost mint, and, then I customized it. And I had taken it to a Steve Vai show when I was in college at Full Sail, and Steve Vai signed it for me. And I knew the backstory that Monkey broke one of Head's guitars while they were on one of those early tours. And he owed Head a guitar. And Heb said, "Well, I want your Steve Vai, your squirrel Steve Vai autograph universe in exchange for my guitar that you smashed." And so Monk had to give it up. So here I am, and I have this guitar, and I'm like, "Check it out, it's all clean and customized." And he's holding it, and I'm like, "Flip it over." I was like, "You recognize whose signature that is?" And he looks at me and he goes, "Man, that's Steve Vai." I was like, "You sure it is?" And he flips it back over. And I was like, "You like it?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's sick, dude." I was like, "Good, because it's yours." And he looks at me and he goes, "What?" I'm like, "No, seriously, it's yours. I want you to take it and make some good music with it." I think I said, maybe I said, "Do a solo or something, make Steve proud." And I said, "I've had this guitar for a little bit. It was actually my second guitar. It was a Christmas gift from my family of all things." As you can see, they kind of came around to the guitar playing after a while. And but every time I played it, I felt like it was better in his hands than in mine. So I wanted to give it to him in appreciation for when Head left the band, they could have shut the band down. He could have quit. And like he stepped it up and said, "No, I'm gonna take full responsibility and play like a two guitar band on one guitar and just keep going." And I said, "I appreciate mo that more than you can ever understand. And I wanna give you this as a token of my appreciation for that." And then that swung into a deeper conversation about how I was doing and where I was at in life. And I kind of told them, I'm really kind of down, and I don't think I'm gonna pursue music anymore. Like, things aren't really lining up for me. I came all the way out from Chicago to Hollywood and got the internship. The internship fell flat. Guitar playing hadn't really clicked for me yet. Wasn't able to find a band to join because of my affliction, right? With my left hand and how I play guitar, and people really didn't understand what I was trying to get across, and that's where the famous conversation came from of, well, if you can't find a band to join, make your own band. And that one moment, that entire evening, was so special and so pivotal in my career, because I was gonna quit. I was currently on drugs. I didn't know up from down. Nothing was really working out for me, and I just wanted to do something amazing for my hero, right? So I took this guitar as a gift, not expecting anything from it. Humbly gave it to him, and the reaction that I got from not only Monkey, but the entire crew and management and everybody on the bus, all of his friends and the other bands on that tour. And it was just, I didn't expect the outpouring of like positive energy and love and light, and everything that came out of it really turned my life around in an instant. Like, it gave me enough light, and like, I could see enough light at the end of the tunnel again. Like, okay, maybe he's right. Maybe I give it one more shot. Maybe I, like, clean up and knock my shit off and, like, go for it. Maybe there's something here. And ironically, I don't know if we've ever made this correlation before, but in press or anything else, but Sebastian was working for the band, Sebastian Paquette, the director of the film Mind Over Matter. He was working for the band at that moment, as a photographer and touring video media guy. So he was there on the bus taking photos
Oh.
during that moment for corn.com and all that. And we'd known each other, of course, but like, the fact that he was there in that moment and got to share it with everybody. And he didn't know that I was so torn apart inside. He didn't know that I was using. He had no idea about my drug use, any of it. I hid it very well, as well as I could. And obviously, it was pretty good because he had no idea. When we were filming the movie, I remember him saying to me, "It's too clean. We need like a dark, a down point." He's like, "Do you have anything?" And I was like,
Tee
was like, "You think you know me, but you really don't know me that well. Let me tell you a story." And I remember being very scared to tell him that stuff, because I didn't even know if I wanted that public, and to have that go public, and to go back to even within my own hero's camp, it terrified me. I'm like, what are the guys gonna think? Even though they've all struggled with substances and addiction problems and all that. I just thought they were gonna all look down on me for it.
Is there some freedom that you found within the vulnerability? I know that that's a struggle for a lot of people, that being vulnerable means someone might not like you anymore or things might change. But did you find a little bit of freedom with kind of bringing all that out with the dark that they ask you to pull out?
Yeah, I think talking about my addiction struggles and the surgery struggles and everything I went through with that was very just descriptive and open book kind of with all the things that I went through. It was liberating, so to speak, to be able to talk about it openly and put it out there, get it off my chest, so to speak, and be able to talk about it openly now and be like, yeah, I did a freak ton of drugs when I was like in my 20s, and I had a time, and I lived to tell about it, and that's where I left it.
Yeah.
So.
I like it. I like it because I often, and I talk about this a lot within the podcast and the group that I teach and work with, is that someone else's healing is found within your story that you tell. And if you don't tell your story, there's someone else out there that might be missing you, right? Because you have a special story that only you can tell that maybe someone else can connect with. And so I love the part of the journey that people come to where they can be open about their struggles and how their life has been.
So hopefully my description of that night wasn't too rambly, but I wanted to kind of just tell it how it happened so that maybe people would get like the big picture of that story.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I think so many different things when I hear that story. I think that knowing that there are musicians out there, and I know that there's musicians out there, but knowing that there are more musicians out there that value things like that, because your life would have been so different had you not made that random decision to take him that guitar. You know, there's a lot you may have missed out on in life had you not made that decision, you know? So you giving that humble gift and appreciation really opened up your life in a different way.
I had no idea that that one moment was gonna change my life. No idea. None. Like I didn't expect to be receptive the way that I was received, and I had no idea the longevity impact it would have on my life and ultimately my career. It
Yeah.
literally changed my life.
I love those moments, those light switch moments to where your life is very different from before that switch flipped. That's
And
really inspiring.
it wasn't easy, but I did go home the next day and like flush all the drugs and begin to totally, excuse me, separate myself from all those people. And I slipped and slid a few times. It took about 6 months to get totally clean. But once I did, life started to get better.
Yeah.
Just had to learn how to retrain your brain and replace bad habits with good ones.
Yeah, they
It took a while, but
yeah, they don't talk a lot about when you're trying to change your life that or you're trying to heal, however you want to word it, that you do lose people that you thought were friends, and you're also losing some things that you heavily depended on. So sometimes in the public eye, it's always shown that, and just like that, I was clean, or and just like that, it changed and it was magic. But it does take a lot of hard work, and sometimes it takes some slip ups, and then you feel bad and you're mad at yourself, and you know, it goes in that circle.
No, I have a couple of come to Jesus moments with like carrying, and I remember the last time I carried, I got pulled over with friends a block from my house. I had like an 8-ball of Coke in my pocket. We just picked up in Hollywood. We were going to my appointment. We were going to do it. And we got pulled over a block from pulling into my driveway. I was in with my buddy and Arizona police. The cops in the area were bad. They pulled us over. We just come from dinner and a show in Hollywood, luckily, because we were all like dressed up, dressed to the nines. And we picked up and we were going to go continue a party at my place and got pulled over. And the cop's like, "What's up with your friend in the back seat?" And I didn't know what to say. I was like, "Oh, I have cerebral palsy, officer." And for whatever reason, be it a gift from God, like he, gift from God, gift from the universe, whatever, he let us go. And I, from that moment on, I was like, I'm never carrying drugs on again in my life. And I
If you
have
get me through this, I promise I'll never do it again.
nope. And that was the final slip up. That was the final, like, nope, that was it. I got so lucky. But you go through it and you heal and you become better because of it, you know?
Do you have certain songs that are more impactful for you or more emotionally driven that you've written that if someone hasn't listened to your music before, that you would say, listen to this first if you want to know who we are?
I think there's a song on the latest EP called Stronger Together, which in my eyes what is like Seize the Day 2.0. It's currently my favorite song that we've done. I didn't write the music for it. It was a Mike Lira creation, a lead guitarist. Mike wrote basically all the music for that tune, and our vocalist at the time, Elise, she wrote the lyrics. Whatever spoke to her at the time, or whatever we were going through in that moment, or trying to portray to the world what we wanted to put out, she came up with the tune Stronger Together. But I think it's the embodiment of who we are as a band and what we're trying to do. It's currently my favorite song in the mix, yeah.
Would you say, what would you say is the mission for the Mendenhall experiment or your mission on taking on all the things that you're taking on?
I mean, the mission statement for us hasn't really changed. It's to raise awareness and to teach people across the world that like people with disabilities can do and be creative in anything. You just gotta give them the opportunity and raising that awareness across the world for everybody alike. That's kind of our mission. That hasn't really changed. The struggle that we have now is just staying relevant, you know, staying creative and you know, because my story only takes us so far. Now the story has to be about the music that we create, you know, but it still has to embody the message and the movement that we're creating, that, you know, being a voice of advocacy for the disabled community.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Is there, what do you want people to walk away once, and this probably bleeds over into what your mission statement is, but if you could say say one phrase or something that you want people to walk away from your music or a live show feeling, what would you want that to be?
I've always wanted people to be empowered, mind over matter. I want people to walk away from watching a podcast, coming to a show, listening to a record, watching a movie. It's all the same. I want people to walk away from any form of content that we've put out, feeling inspired to be creative and productive and prolific in their own adventures in life,
Yeah, I think that that's definitely something that you guys portray. I walked away from just the little, right, that I have known of you in your music, and then in the documentary, feeling very empowered. And I actually shared it with the group, and I was like, "Okay, guys, what's your excuse? Tell me an excuse," because that's what I always tell them. Like, we stand in our own way. Right. No matter what we have going on in life, no matter what we may or may not have wrong, or if that's what people want to call it, like we stand in our own way and hold ourselves back so much. And so I love to say to people, including to myself, what's my excuse? It's like, what is it? What is it? We all have one. So I think that you're so empowering.
That's what I'm currently struggling with, that statement myself. Like, what's my excuse? Like, you get off your arse and go write this new record,
Yeah.
man. Like, put it down, put it together, so I've been trying to kickstart my own inspiration. So I get it, and I hope that people still feel so inspired and invigorated with my story and my music all these years later. I mean, the
Yeah.
documentary's been out for a long time now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you have fans that you meet, and they will be your fans forever. And I've said this to other artists, like when you have the fans that you connect with, you could literally throw a trash can lid down, and they're going to be like, "It's the greatest, and I will support you no matter what."
That's what we talk about all the time, is creating those lifelong fans and making those emotional connections with the people that support you, and get them to be a part of your journey and follow you through everything that you do. I mean, that's been our goal as a band and a brand. To do that. So I hope that we're doing it. We're putting our best foot forward to accomplish those things.
Did your experience with Korn and meeting them, did that impact how you wanted to interact with fans?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The guys in Korn have always inspired me to be kind and courteous and inspiring to others. I got to share a very cool moment with Monkey on this last, when they did the 30th anniversary, this past fall. I saw it in LA, and when I flew out to San Antonio, and I hung out with Monkey for the entire day. And we hung out with Brian for a little bit and Head, and we just kicked it for like 9 hours. It was awesome. But like, I got to tell them about, there was a moment a few shows after I'd given them that guitar. I was backstage with them in San Diego, and we were walking down the hallway of whatever mega arena it was. I don't remember. And I don't even know whose kid this was. I have no idea. I just know that it wasn't Monkey's kid. It was somebody backstage had their little toddler, 2-year-old with them. And Monkey had just come off stage, and we're walking like from the stage area to one of the dressing rooms, or maybe we were headed to the bus. I don't remember, but this toddler was walking behind him and caught up to him and kind of pulled on his jacket. And he stopped, and I watched the interaction. He stopped and kind of kneeled down, brought himself down to this baby's level, and made that moment all about that baby. And I was like, I told him, I was like, that was the moment I realized that you inspired me to be like the man that I want to be. Like as an artist, but also as a man and a human being, like that inspired me to be like this good-hearted, like person, you know. And he was really touched by it. And to get to tell him that, like on the eve of or in the wake of like the 30th anniversary tour that they were on, and how much that meant to me, it was, I felt like it was appropriate to finally tell that story. It was a cool moment. So yeah, those guys definitely have not only inspired me as a musician, but have inspired me as a human being to just be on the right path and be a good person.
Yeah, those moments. And I think that that's something just us as humans don't think a lot about is that, we get in this robot mode right through the day, and we really don't know what other people have going on around us so much of the time. And a lot of times we are the ones that are inspiring those light switch moments, and we don't even know it, and we're impacting other people's lives, and we have no idea. And so I think that it's really honorable, right, to be able to talk to someone who values those moments. It's something that's honorable for them to value the moments, because nobody has all the time in the world, right? But we have a moment.
Yeah, I also got to tell those dudes together at one point. I can't remember where we were. I think we were at one of the Korn album release parties in Hollywood, and they were both together, and I told them that, I never got to hear my dad say that he was proud of me, my grandfather. But I got to hear it from both those dudes. And I was like, that means more to me than you will ever understand. So that was also one of my favorite moments with those guys, for sure.
How great is that? It's a full circle moment. That's just what I kept thinking, is it's a full circle moment. Like, you're a fan and you listen to their music as a teenager, and then all of a sudden, through random events, here you are, and it is a full circle moment for you. So much.
That's all I wanted as a kid, was like, I wanted to meet them, but I also wanted to be like on the same level as them. Like, I wanted to be respected by them, not as a fan, but as a musician. It's crazy how life works.
Did you ever think that it would turn out the way that it is 20 years ago?
I knew I was on to something when I first started playing guitar in my bedroom in Illinois. And I remember saying it to the first guys that I was jamming with in my bedroom. I said, I'm gonna create this band and create this music and find my own way to play this 7-string guitar and tell people my story, and all these companies are gonna wanna back me, and it's going to be a positive thing for the music industry to take and promote my story with my music. But did I ever think that it was gonna come to fruition and be what it turned into being? Like, no, I had no idea. I had the inkling that like companies would latch on to my story, but did I think I was gonna do it all? I've done more than I've ever expected to accomplish, and I think that's one of my biggest struggles right now is just to find that inspiration to keep doing it, keep going, and I think that's why the fans are the biggest piece right now.
Yeah. I think sometimes when we've gone through so much in life and things start to settle, it becomes kind of more so boring, right? It doesn't have so much craziness, so there's not so much there to maybe write about if you're writing, about emotions and things like that. When things calm down, sometimes it's, well, what am I supposed to do now? But I have no doubt that you will bring forth everything that you can once you find that little bit of inspiration on it.
Like, I had no idea that I was going to create my own band. I thought I was going to join someone else's band and then just kind of use my story of like a disabled guitarist as like something positive in the world. But like, Monkey kind of gave it to me as a different perspective that I never even thought of. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, maybe. And it, everybody in the beginning told me it would never work. No one's ever gonna back a band called the Mental Health Experiment. You're not gonna find guys that wanna play with you. They're not gonna wanna be a part of it. And maybe part of that was true. And maybe it was all of the star power that got behind my story and that kind of made it cool to where now people want to be a part of it. I don't know, man. I'm just thankful and blessed that I've been able to do it and continue to do it,
Yeah, I think that it's really wonderful, and it's something that I think when you look back and reflect at how far you've come, like think about some of the things that you have been through, like when you were younger, and think about what would you say to your younger self of what you're doing now. Like I kind of look at, like, I used to have posters on my walls of like musicians and stuff like that. And I've always loved music, but it took this weird long journey to come right back to where I'm meant to be. And my inner child will be like, hell yeah, are you sure I can make it through anything if this is what I'm going to get to do? So your inner child, like, what would they be thinking if they knew, like, this is what you get to do?
My inner child would
Right?
mind blown. Like I remember when like all I wanted was a kid was like a pig with my logo on it. I thought that was the coolest shit. And like, I never thought that I was gonna make a movie. The idea of making this documentary like terrified me. And the fact that there's a quote from James Monkey Schaefer on the cover of the movie. Man, put it up to God, put it up to the universe. I was definitely put on this planet to be a voice for people that don't have a voice. And I think that's what I struggled with for a long time, is that like, why am I kind of disabled but kind of normal but not 100% normal? I'm kind of in this in-between space. And like making this movie taught me that I am who I am because I was supposed to take my story and help other people with it. And I wasn't a very religious person before the whole process, but it's gotta be God, it's gotta be divine intervention, all the full circle moments and everything that's lined up. There's no other explanation for it. God, the universe, energy, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they're all the
It
same to me.
was divine for sure. For sure. 100%. And that little 15-year-old kid that started playing guitar when he was young and didn't know what he was doing and just wanted to be a rock star. If he knew what he was gonna be able to get to do 20 years later, he wouldn't believe it, for sure. But that's it. I think that's a testament for anybody going through like mental health struggles, is that, if you check out today, you'll never know what tomorrow's gonna bring you. And look what 20 years, 20+ years have brought me from the moment that I tried to take my own life, I would have missed out on all of it, And you just gotta stick around and keep moving, because a permanent solution to temporary problems is never worth it. So.
That's absolutely true. And that actually is going to bring me to the next thing for us to chat about real quick was you guys are playing at the Break the Silence Festival in Colorado. Why is that important for you to be a part of?
Because aside from my disability and the struggles that I've had with growing up with a disability and proving my worth in the music industry, kind of side by side simultaneously, I've struggled with depression, anxiety, and the mental health aspect of being someone with a disability and being different and finding my way and have, going through addictions with drugs and alcohol and like basically just to try and find solid ground and find myself of who I am and all that. So when I link up with Kelly, and learning about the Break the Silence Festival, and I saw how hard that she's worked on the festival and her determination and just everything that she does to make it happen. It was a no-brainer for me to want to be a part of it, because knowing that I am technically a suicide survivor and I've tried to take my own life twice, and the second time I basically succeeded. I died and left my body, saw myself from above myself. Was actually in this apartment, and I died and came back, and that was very different from the first time that I attempted suicide. The first time was like, woe is me, sad, and all that. The second time was angry, and I believe that was why it was successful. And it kind of came out of nowhere. So doing all that and like having gone through that, I think it's important to share my testimony with people so that if it helps one person not to take their own life, then we won, right? And I'm very thankful that I was given a second chance, because I would have missed out on the biggest day of my career, the biggest day of my life. It was really scary.
Well, I'm grateful you're still here. It's an honor to meet you, truly. And I'm glad that you're still here for all this. You make such a difference, even in ways you don't see. So.
But it's important that people know that even in the wake of being successful and had all these things going for me with the band, and the movie was going to come out, the premiere was the next day, and I snapped. I could have lost everything.
Yeah.
And that moment could have been a memorial service instead of a celebration of my film. And it's a really heavy, heavy moment to swallow still, to think that I took things that far in the moment is scary, but it's also important to share it with people that I had all these things going for me, and yet I fell into something that I thought I would never go back to. And it happened like that. So that's why I think it's important to share my testimony and story with people, and Break the Silence has been an amazing platform for that.
Yeah, it really has. It's been impactful on so many levels. And I know she's going to continue to do great things, and she has your support and so many other people. So I'm excited to see where that all goes for sure.
For sure.
So I like to end the podcast with the same question. And it is, if someone were to come to you and they were struggling with any kind of mental health, what is some words of wisdom through your years of knowledge that you've gained that you would give them?
Keep going. The darkness always subsides. The light always comes back. The roller coaster always keeps going. You always have high points. You always have low points. The most important thing is to keep going. You're having a bad day, take a hot shower, sleep it off, go to bed, put down the bottle, put down the pills, go to sleep. Go get some food, get some sun on your face, drink some water, take some vitamins,
You have
and
no idea what the future holds. Like, we play the game, I think, so much on it could be way worse. It's going to get worse, but what if it gets better? Like,
it,
that's.
but that's the lie we tell ourselves. What if
Yeah.
it gets better? But that's the lie. Like, it does get better. It
Yeah.
always gets better. No matter how much negative, dark, bad stuff you're going through, it always gets better. You never stay stuck.
And that is that subconscious, I call it our monster, our subconscious monster that's in there saying that it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better, but it really does. And sometimes it'll not stay better, right? It'll get bad, and it's ups and downs and all over. But sooner or later, like, the sun does come out, and it does get better, and you can look back on how.
Yeah, and my life, as cliche as it sounds, life goes on, and it gets better, and you're gonna miss out on a million things that could be amazing in your life if you give up on it today.
Things you never thought would happen.
Yep, I'm living proof of that. I am living, literally living proof.
The Authentic Life with KL and Break the Silence are two healing missions aligning to support mental health, all wellness and recovery, offering hope and amplifying the light.